This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Well, well, well. Conversations with WellSelf, your local primary health organisation, supporting and empowering local healthcare providers.
At this time of year, as people are back at work, the kids are back at school and we have New Year's resolutions, it's a good time to talk about our health, being kind to ourselves and finding balance. There are lots of diets and fads out there, a growing number of weight loss medications and lots of misinformation. So we are pleased to welcome Natalie Ashton back on to our studio. Nat is a dietitian from WellSouth who sees patients for all sorts of nutrition advice and support. Tell us about your role at WellSouth and who you are, Nat.
So my role at WellSouth includes talking to patients one-on-one for consults. I also run some group education sessions and provide expertise to other healthcare professionals. And I also support other services which provide some nutrition support. So, for example, health coaches, which you might see in a medical practice. We do see a range of patients, including long-term conditions such as cardiovascular disease and diabetes. We also help women with some specific conditions like fertility and support during pregnancy. And we also support children over 2 years of age for fussy eating.
If only I'd known, I could have sent my kids to you for fussy eating. They're all not fussy anymore. What are some of the New Year's resolutions that you might see around food?
So many New Year's resolutions are focused around weight or eating healthier. That's quite common. At the extreme end, we see people who throw themselves into new diets, such as cutting out food groups, skipping meals or fasting through the day, or cutting out foods that they really enjoy. And a more moderate approach might be limiting some foods which we know shouldn't be consumed every day or committing to more physical activity. And these more moderate changes seem to be more sustainable.
I've got some friends that do fasting every now and then. Is that something a dietitian would recommend? Or
I probably wouldn't recommend fasting for everyone. It depends on the individual, but definitely a more balanced approach of eating 3 regular meals a day is definitely important for our body for regular intake and energy.
Fantastic. So what are some other examples of small, sustainable things that you can do rather than going down a crazy crash into a diet and then give up in a couple of weeks kind of thing, something that keeps us going?
So it could be taking what you already do and just slowly changing it to a healthier routine or habit. So for example, if you drink a lot of fizzy drinks or energy drinks every day, you could make a small change. So reducing the number of these you have in a day or reducing the frequency. So having them every other day instead. We want to be moving slowly towards healthier choices instead of cutting them out completely. So you just make a small, simple change. And this is incredibly beneficial and easier to stick to. So I've just mentioned fizzies and energy drinks. So high amounts of sugar and caffeine can be quite damaging to our health. So a nice switch for this would be water. So water is really important to keep us hydrated and keep many of our bodily processes going. So making the swap to increase your water intake and reducing sugary beverages is a really great example of a small, sustainable thing you could do.
What recommendations would you make to someone like me who can't stand water?
Well, there's lots of things you could add to water to make it a little bit tastier. There's sugar-free cordials. There's also these new things called water drops.
So I've seen those.
Yeah, so just adding something to a little bit of flavour to get you used to the water intake can be really helpful. Even a slice of lemon could do the trick.
I'll bear that in mind. All my fluid intake comes in the form of tea. You probably frown at me. You'll frown at me for that.
As long as it's not too much caffeine, then you should be fine.
Fantastic. So it's about balance, right? 3 meals a day are still the recommended, still the good thing, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we sometimes call it the 80-20 rule. So aiming to eat well 80% of the time and then being more relaxed on another 20%. So eating those 3 regular meals a day are some really good eating habits. It helps to ensure you're incorporating all of our food groups, so whole grains, fruits and vegetables, dairy products and protein-rich foods. Some diets exclude a food group. So, for example, you might have heard of keto, which specifically targets food groups which are high in carbohydrates. However, carbs are really important. They're our main source of energy in our body. And when we remove them, we're starving our bodies of that important energy source. So we don't want to demonize these foods either. It's really important to enjoy them and the celebrations that come with food, so like Christmas and New Year's and things. And with most of us being back at work with a busy year ahead, it's really important that we get all that energy that our body really needs. So some great carbs that can give us this energy include whole grains, starchy vegetables like potato, corn and kumara, as well as whole grain breads and cereals like Weet-Bix, oats and yeah, whole grain breads.
So 3 meals a day. Well, you know, is breakfast the most important meal of the day still? Is that what? Because that's something people have said forever, and I don't really eat breakfast, so I'm putting myself out here as a bad example of what you're recommending. I do apologise.
No, that's okay. I mean, I see lots of people who prefer not to have breakfast. However, it does take away an opportunity to get some good nutrition in. So if you're not a massive breakfast eater because you're just not feeling hungry, or if it's something that you've never done, could you have a smaller snack maybe mid-morning so that you've got an opportunity to get some nourishment in before relying just on lunch and dinner to get you through?
I do love a snack. So what are some other examples of good eating habits then?
Well, for meals themselves, we think of this healthy balanced plate model, which many people have seen. You might have seen this half a plate of vegetables with quarter of a plate of carbohydrates and quarter of a plate of protein. So for example, a breakfast might look like porridge for your carbs, milk and yogurt for protein, and maybe adding some fruit on top, because not everyone likes to put some veggies with their porridge, of course. For a good dinner, we could be talking about some lean meats, some potatoes and some vegetables like broccoli, carrot and cauliflower. For people who don't eat meat, dairy products and eggs are great sources of protein, and same with beans, lentils, either tinned or dried, and other legume products like falafel and hummus are great sources of protein too.
So are we still in the view that it's, you know, the five a day with your fruit and veg? Is that something that, because that's where I've come from, like back in the UK, they always talked about five a day.
Five plus a day, yeah. So the recommendations changed ever so slightly over the last couple of years, just with more research coming out. So it's actually now almost seven plus a day. So it's five servings of vegetables, and two servings of fruit. And you can think of a serving, if we're thinking of an easy example, could be a small handful. So it is quite difficult to get those five servings of vegetables in, but you could get them in a multiple different ways, such as frozen veggies are just as nutrient dense as our fruit and vegetables that sit on the shelf, as well as tinned options can be another cost-effective option.
So I understand things like protein, you get that, you know, that meat and eggs. Mm. What are your vegetables giving you? Is that the vitamins? Is that those other bits as well?
So they give us all the micronutrients that our body needs. So that's all our vitamins and minerals. They call them micronutrients because they're very small and we need small doses from those foods. Our vegetables also give us a lot of fibre. So fibre comes from all of our plant-based products, so none from our dairy products, eggs or meats and things like that. However, anything that comes from a plant is going to give us lots of fibre, which is really important for keeping our bowel motions regular, keeping a healthy gut and slowing down how quickly we digest a meal.
Are there any fruits or vegetables that you would recommend people stay away from?
Only ones that they are allergic to.
Okay, so all fruit and vegetables are great.
I would encourage a good range of and variety of fruits and vegetables. The only time you would probably avoid a fruit or vegetable is if you're allergic to it.
So, but if people wanted to try something on the more extreme end, what advice do you have for them?
Getting good advice is really important. So a common goal for a lot of people is losing weight. However, weight is not just about what we eat. So it includes genetics, our environment, what we can afford and how much activity we do and many other factors. So that's why I advocate being really kind to yourself first, knowing your body and making some small sustainable changes. Many of your listeners might have heard about the new weight loss medications that now are available in New Zealand. These medications help to support weight loss when you've tried other lifestyle changes, such as changing your diet and increasing exercise, but they're not helping on their own. However, it's important to remember that these medications are not a quick fix, so they aren't always the appropriate option, and depending on your circumstances, they may not be appropriate for you. So speaking with a healthcare provider before trying them is really important. And if you're needing support with healthy eating, we have health coaches that sit in medical practices across Dunedin and the rest of Otago. If you need any personalised support from a dietitian, you can discuss a referral to our team with your GP, and all of our consultations are subsidised, so they're free. I guess another thing that is important is getting that trusted nutrition knowledge. So not finding it off your friend's social media site, unfortunately, but some trusted New Zealand organisations like the Heart Foundation, Diabetes NZ, or websites like Healthify, which was previously Health Navigator, I believe.
And you do see a lot. If you spend any time on TikTok, mm-hmm. Instagram or Facebook, you do see all these, this is what you have to do. You know, these sort of like wonderfully, you know, beautiful looking human beings, male mm-hmm. and female, telling you that you should be. And I look at that stuff and I think that looks, like, to be fair, it looks crazy to me.
Yeah.
But obviously getting professional advice is actually a far more sensible thing to do.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a difficult one because food, everyone needs to eat, so everyone has an opinion, which is really important to have an opinion on what you want to put into your body. But unfortunately, everyone might need more personalised advice, and getting advice from those that have qualifications in nutrition is really important, so that you're not needing to try out fad diets to get the results that you're hoping for, and we can have some more sustainable approaches to make sure you're feeling really good and being really well nourished as well.
So this is the bane of my life, this one. How does physical activity fit into all of this? And please don't tell me I've got to go and exercise.
Well, unfortunately, I think exercise is really important in our lives, so I often ask patients to try and get 30 minutes a day, but it doesn't mean you have to go out for 30 minutes and be, sweating really and having your heart rate up really high. It could just mean going out of the office from work or going for a walk at lunchtime for 30 minutes. You could also, I often suggest going for a walk after dinner so you're not going to bed on a full tummy and you're making the most of those daylight hours in the evening, which have been really lovely this week. And if you're back in the office and you've got a standing desk, for example, then using that variety of sitting and standing to break up periods of prolonged sedentary activity is really important to keep your body moving. So something's better than nothing. And if you've just got a couple of minutes for going for a walk, then it's better than just sitting still.
I think a lot of people don't actually realise the benefit of walking.
Mm.
That, like you say, that you know, people say I've got to do exercise. So people think I've got to run around the block, or I've got to go and hit the gym and do and get on the bike or whatever. You know, but actually, there's a huge benefit, right, to just
going for a walk,
going for a stroll, just getting away from your desk and just going half an hour to walk. You know, just you get back and you're not going to be sort of there in your suit, soaking wet or anything like that. You haven't got to change into gym clothes to do it. You actually just...
Exactly, yeah. And if you can get out in the sun, that vitamin D is going to be really helpful for a lot of other things as well. It helps with calcium absorption in our bodies, for keeping our bones strong, and it also helps with our mental health. So it is really important to get outside as often as you can.
Fantastic. So what are your top three tips for anybody who's decided they want to make a change?
Setting realistic, sustainable goals is probably a really big one. So everything in moderation, not being too extreme with any changes or too sudden with changes either. Small changes are made slowly and are more kinder and more realistic, and they're really a lot easier to sustain in the long term. Another tip I would say is coming back to basics, so thinking of those three regular meals a day. So if you feel like you ate too much over the holidays, just bring it back to those good old basic eating habits rather than those extreme changes. And using that healthy balanced plate model for vegetables, carbs and protein is a great way of setting up your plate. And then finally, it's really important to get that right advice. So if you're thinking about weight loss medications, have a chat with your healthcare provider so you're getting accurate, trusted information. And if you want healthy eating support, talk to your health coach at your practice, or for more tailored, specific, condition-specific advice, you can ask your GP to refer into our Well South team. And I'd really encourage people to be cautious of that advice that they get on social media, especially when it's not coming from qualified or trusted healthcare professionals.
That's fair enough. And I guess the thing that stood out for me is the fact that you can get referred to Well South for dietary nutrition needs from your GP. Many people might not realise that's not. I didn't know until today that would be an option. But
yeah.
But that's something, obviously, it's a service you provide. And you say you provide it for free.
Yes, it is subsidised, so it's for free. It is condition specific, so we do have a referral criteria. However, the health coach is in practice. If you're just wanting some general healthy eating and advice, and you have a health coach available, it's best to see them first, and we support them throughout the region as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us again, and we look forward to catching up with you another time.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Well, well, well. If you'd like to hear more conversations with the team at Well South, look for Well, Well, Well podcast from oar.org.nz or on your favourite podcast provider. We'll be back again in 4 weeks. Catch you then.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.